Yo, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing today? I hope you guys are doing great out there. I'm super excited to, you know, this episode number 17. And I'm very excited because we're going to talk about the World Cup. And, you know, this huge event that's happening right now in Qatar is definitely my favorite event in the whole world. So are you ready for it? Welcome to Behind the Language. Once again, this is episode 17, and I'm your host, Teacher Rodrigo Norato, and I'm super excited to talk to y'all about the World Cup today. Well, Brazil has just won the first match. And by the way, shout out to Richarlison, who killed the game, right? He scored two times and led Brazil to its first win.
Pushing Lazovic back and finding Richarlison!
By the way, he also said something this week that was really iconic, and I quote, "I speak English, my friend."
I speak English, my friend.
Well, are you ready for this episode? Because it will be awesome for you, and it will be awesome for you to learn about both the World Cup and also about English. So get ready for it because, you know, I have prepared something amazing here for you. And by the way, this is just an introduction, right? For those who don't know me, my name is Rodrigo, and I'm in the team English in Brazil. And if you haven't followed us on the social media, you should follow us on Instagram. My Instagram is at teacher.rodrigonorato, and you should also follow English in Brazil at English in Brazil. So I'll see you guys on Instagram. Let's get down to business. All right, in this episode of Behind the Language, you will learn about this amazing event that brings people from all over the world together. People that want to have fun, to mingle with others, to share experiences, to watch the games, to communicate, and of course, to express themselves to the best of their abilities. Also, you will learn some specific and useful vocabulary for you to talk to your friends about the World Cup. So are you ready for it? Let's get down to business. Well, I decided to start this podcast episode with my own story, okay? So you have already heard a lot about me, about my life story with English, you know, so you know how I've learned English and the types of music I listen to and what I watch. You know a whole lot about me. But you don't know about this part of my life story, which is related to the World Cup. Well, my story with the World Cup starts in 1994. So in 1994, I was an 8-year-old boy living in Belo Horizonte, Brazil. And, you know, something that really caught my attention in that year was that the World Cup would be held in the United States of America. And when I was a kid, the United States of America was the greatest country for me. Well, it's still one of the greatest countries for me. But now I've been to so many other countries that, you know, I look at the United States as another amazing place to visit. But, you know, there are other countries that really catch my attention too, like Australia, Croatia, the UK, you know, Mexico. You know, there are other countries that I love, you know, Canada. You know, there are many countries out there. But of course, the United States plays a very important, you know, role in my life. And of course, in my career. So it all started back in 1994. So I remember that everybody was getting ready for it. Brazil was so-called, you know, not to be the one to win, right? Because people are saying, well, that was so difficult to qualify for the World Cup. You know, Brazil was not a very good team back in 1992 or 1993, but I was a kid, so I don't really remember that. But I remember that not a lot of people believed that Brazil would be the champion. And, you know, the last time Brazil had been the champion was in 1970. So 24 years later, you know, people are just like this, well, we're not going to have a team like that anymore. But what happened is that in 1994, we had Romario, we had Bebeto, Branco, we had Taffarel, we had so many great players. Dunga, we had Mauro Silva, we had, you know, Ricardo Rocha, amazing players. Zinho, Mazinho, even Ronaldo, the phenomenon. He was there. He was only 16 years old. I mean, he didn't play the game, but he was there. And guess what? The language is English. I remember that there were games in Dallas, Detroit, Atlanta, you know, some other places, you know. And I was just like, wow, I really want to go to this place one day. And that was an amazing feeling. But also, in that year, 1994, my two grandmothers passed away. You know, my father's side, you know, my grandmother, she passed in February. And on my mother's side, my grandmother passed in June. So the finals were either in June or July. I don't remember that. I just remember that I was so happy celebrating that Brazil was a four-time champion now. But my mother was sad. And I, as a kid, I couldn't really understand why my mother was so sad, you know, because Brazil was just the winner. Now, but my mother also understood that I was just a kid and I was having fun and I wanted to be a soccer player. So everything in there was just like, well, you know, my mother would understand. I wouldn't understand why my mother was sad, and that was it. But one thing that I really do remember was that my family was in the house and we were watching the game. I remember when Baggio just kicked the ball over the goal and we were celebrating, and I could hear Galvão Bueno going like, "Et tetra! Et tetra!" You know, that was a crazy moment, man. I remember that I had a flag on a broomstick and I went out of my building waving the flag and everybody was screaming and having fun, and that was a great thing. So that is how my story started with the World Cup. But, you know, the World Cup was not always like that, right? I mean, for example, in 1998, Brazil lost the finals to France. And I remember that because there were players that were iconic as well, like Thierry Henry, Zinedine Zidane, you know, Barthez. I don't even know how to pronounce those names, but, you know, they were the best in the world at that time, 1998. And then he had Ronaldo, the phenomenon, didn't play. And, you know, so some people said that he had a concussion. You know, there were some crazy stuff going on in there. But in 2002, we are there again. And we were the champion. And that made us the only five-time champion. And in 2010, I also remember that was the World Cup in South Africa. That was so much fun. People bringing their vuvuzelas. Just like this one I have here. Listen. Exactly. This is a vuvuzela. So you'll remember that, right? In 2010. And also that iconic song by Shakira, the Waka Waka. Hey, DJ, play that song. Well, in 2014, that was a sad moment, right? Man, that was funny because that was like mixed feelings, right? Because that was the second time that we had the World Cup in Brazil. 2014, you know, all the stadiums, you know, people are ready. You know, a lot of tourists in Brazil and, you know, different restaurants, different bars. And then Brazil was beaten by Germany in Mineirão. Mineirão is like 5 minutes away from my home, you know, here in Belo Horizonte. Was I here? No, I was in Hong Kong. I was living and working in Hong Kong in 2014, you know, 8 years ago. And guess what? I lived with a German guy in my dorm. So there were actually people from Taiwan, Hong Kong, Japan, Colombia, and Germany. And the guy from Germany was in my dorm. So we shared rooms for, I don't know, a month, and well, he was there. Of course, he made fun of me. Well, but that was over. In 2018, we had the World Cup again in Russia, and France was the winner, and we met that little dude called Mbappe, and you know, he was born to the world in that World Cup. So, you know, France became the world champion. That would be the second time, right? The first one was against Brazil, 1998, and now the second time in 2018, exactly 10 years later. And now 2022, we're trying to become the one and only six-time champion in the world. And I personally think that Brazil could be the champion. And you will understand why I think so. But, you know, let's talk a little bit more about the World Cup in here. You know, the World Cup is definitely the biggest sports event in the world. It's even bigger than the Olympics or the Super Bowl in the United States. It is watched by one-third of the population on Earth. And this time, Qatar has invested $300 billion. I mean, billion dollars, not million dollars. I'm talking about $300 billion to make this World Cup happen in this small country in the Middle East. Oh my God, $300 billion. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, I thought about this. It was like, man, $300 billion? How many people could we help with that money? Well, whatever. So this is something that we can talk about later, okay? But this is just like the biggest investment that's ever been made in the World Cup. And the history of the World Cup started actually in 1930. You know, the first World Cup was held in 1930 in Uruguay, here in South America, which happened to be the first champion as well. So Uruguay was the first champion of the World Cup. In 1950, the event happened here in Brazil, and guess what? We lost it to Uruguay again. So until then, only two countries had won the World Cup: Uruguay, 1930 and 1950, and Italy, 1934 and 1938. So we had two-time champions. And where was Brazil? Well, nowhere to be seen. In 1954, Germany became the new champion, and now for the first time, we had a different national team to raise the cup. However, 4 years later, in 1958, Brazil, led by Pelé, stole the show and became the second champion in South America. The world started to understand that Europe and South America would be the leading teams. And guess what? There has never been a champion in the whole history of the World Cup that was not from either Europe or South America. That's crazy, right? Well, I'm going to show you a list in here. Check it out. So we're going to start with the teams in Europe, and then we're going to move on to South America. As I told you before, we only had champions in these two continents, South America and Europe. Well, in Europe, we had Italy, a four-time champion, one of the greatest teams that's ever been. Italy has won in different years, right? It won in 1934, 1938, 1982, and 2006. Well, Germany here also is a four-time champion that won in 1954, 1974, 1990, and 2014. Yeah, that one in Brazil that we don't want to remember. Also, we had England winning only one time in 1966. Then France, as I told you before, is a two-time champion, 1998 and 2018. And we had Spain winning the South Africa World Cup in 2010. And then here, we have the countries in South America. As I told you before also, Uruguay won the World Cup in 1930 The first one in 1950, the one here in Brazil. Argentina won in 1978 and in 1986. And that's when we met Maradona, you know, one of the most iconic players in the world. And of course, we have Brazil, the only team that has won the World Cup five times. 1958 with Pelé, 1962 with Garrincha, 1970 with the Esquadrão, 1994 with Romário and Bebeto, in 2002 with Ronaldo Phenomenon, Ronaldinho Gaúcho, and Rivaldo. And of course, Cafu. Well, and I don't know if you're already impressed by Brazil, but I have something else to tell you. Brazil is the one and only national team that's ever made every World Cup that's ever been played. In all 22 World Cups, Brazil was there, always. We've always been qualified to play it. And Brazil, guess what? Brazil has won 73 World Cup matches. You know, some teams have never played 73 World Cup matches. Brazil has won 73 World Cup matches. That is impressive. But you might be doing a math right now. Well, if there is a World Cup every 4 years, and it started in 1930, there should have been 24 so far, not 22 as you said before. Well, yeah, you're right. But in 1942 and 1946, there were no World Cups because of, you know, World War II. What a shame, right? Yeah, I know. So within, you know, those years, there were no World Cups. So we had the last World Cup in 1938, and then we had a break until 1950 when the World Cup was held here in Brazil. So in between this time, no World Cups were held. Yeah, so that's why we have only 22 World Cups until now. And guess what, man? Out of 22 World Cups, man, Brazil has won 5. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I mean, we should be so proud of that, because that's just incredible. But okay, I'm not going to talk about the World Cup anymore. You know, that's enough of the World Cup and its history. It's time to check some vocabulary. And I'm going to teach you the vocabulary using contexts. So I want you to take notes of the vocabulary, because it's going to be really important for you to talk to your friends about the World Cup and actually about some other sports, because sometimes the vocabulary just, you know, extends to other sports too. Okay? So for the World Cup, of course, there are 32 teams selected by their coaches. So this is the first one for you to take notes of. Coach. So the coach is this person who is usually older and very experienced. And this person coaches the teams, trains the teams. So the teams are selected by their coaches. And of course, there's coaches. They have their assistants. So I will use Brazil as our example, okay? Because it's going to be easier for us to make connections. You know, connections will be made more easily, all right? So Tite, or Tite, is the coach of our team, of Brazil. So he's the coach, and he has many assistants. For example, Tafarel, or Tafarel, he is one of his assistants. He helps Chichi with the goalkeeper. Alisson is our goalkeeper. You know, the number one is the goalkeeper, the guy who protects our goal. So he keeps the goal safe. So he is our goalkeeper. So until now, we have three people in there, right? So we have Chichi, the coach, Tafarel, one of the assistants, and Alisson, the goalkeeper. Well, we're not going to go for all the players in the team, but you should know that the players are divided into the defenders, the midfielders, and the forwards. So the defenders, we have, for example, Thiago Silva. The midfielders, we have Paquetá and Neymar. And the forwards, we have Vinicius Júnior and Rafinha, for example. And of course, we have Richarlison, the guy that just scored 2 times. Yeah, okay. So the first stage of the World Cup is called the group stage, in which 32 teams play, 3 games, and only 16 teams qualify to the next stage. So this first stage is called group stage, okay? So in the group stage, people will qualify to the next stage. The next stage is called round of 16, and that's a playoff or a knockout. What does that mean? Well, that means that if you lose, you're out. Only 8 teams move to the next stage. So why is it called round of 16? Oh, teacher, in Portuguese, that's called oitavas de final, right? Exactly. So oitavas de final, we have 16 teams, but only 8 teams move to the next stage. In English, this phase is called round of 16, okay? So when the 8 teams move to the next stage, now this new stage is called quarterfinals. Quarterfinals or quarterfinals. Because there are 4 games and it's also part of the playoffs, part of the knockouts. You lose, you're out. And then the teams that win, they will move on to the next phase. The 4 teams will move to the semifinals. The teams that lose the games will play the third place match. And the 2 winners will move on to the finals. The team that wins the finals will be the World Cup champion and will take $42 million home. So here is the vocabulary again. Check it out, and you have to remember what I mean by that. Coach. Coach assistant. Goalkeeper. Defender. Midfielder. Forward. Group stage. Round of 16. Quarterfinals. Semifinals. Finals. Champion. Great, great. So now you have the vocabulary in there. You have learned so much about the World Cup. So apparently, you know, we're coming to the end of another episode of Behind the Language. You know that. Your dose of English and culture. So thank you guys very much for being here, for listening to this episode number 17. I'm super excited about it. You know, as you can see, I love the World Cup. You know, I love talking about it. I love waking up at 7 a.m. to watch the game. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram. My Instagram is at teacher.rodrigonorato. And our Instagram is at English in Brazil. Well, I'm Rodrigo Norato from English in Brazil. Thank you very much for being here with me. See you guys around.
Dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's on, you feel it. But you got it all, believe it. When you fall, get up, oh, oh. And if you fall, get up, eh, eh. Samina, mira, sangarewa. Cause this is Africa. Samina, mira, eh, eh. It's time for Africa. this time for Africa. Samina, mina, eh, eh, waka, waka, eh, eh. Samina, mina, sakalewa, anawa, ah, ah. Samina, mina, eh, eh, waka, waka, eh, eh. Samina, mina, sakalewa, this time for Africa.
Africa.